Housekeeping first, we will be having another one, potentially two hearings this week, as there are some bills that are continuing to move towards the Governance and Finance Committee. We have two authors who are here today. We're going to start with Assemblymember Quirk, who we're grateful is here. He's going to be presenting on AB 723. We're then going to turn it over to the Grayson Show on AB 754 and AB 1483. We're going to start the committee as a sub this morning, and we'll add on as soon as we establish a quorum. The vice chair, which he is here literally for every meeting, we could not be more grateful, is unable to make it today and had a conversation with him, and it is seriously, it's not going to be the same without Mr. Morlock, and just want to say thank you to him for all of his work on behalf of the committee. We're going to turn it over to Mr. Quirk on AB 723, focus on Alameda and Santa Cruz counties. The floor is yours, sir, and good morning.
Good morning. Microphone is working. Thank you, Chair and Senator. I would like to thank your staff for the great work they've done quickly analyzing this bill. I'm presenting AB 723 again after making some changes to the bill that the Newsom administration helped us with. AB 723 makes changes to how the transaction and use tax law cap is calculated for Alameda and Santa Cruz County. Cities and counties are responsible for providing a wide range of support services, such as shelters for the homeless, police, and fire services. The change in AB 723 will give local governments needed flexibility and the option to obtain additional revenue to provide much needed general purpose local government services such as road repairs, park maintenance, and homelessness shelters. With me today is Niccolo DeLuca from the City of Fremont, or representing the City of Fremont, and Monica Miller with the County of Alameda. I respectfully request your aye vote.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember. We have a great law firm of DeLuca and Miller here in front of us. Would like to be able to see who would like to be able to kick us off. It's going to be Miller. The floor is yours, ma'am. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you so much for having us here this morning. We appreciate your staff's work, as well as the Assemblymember and his staff's work and the Newsom administration in working this out. So 723 simply just allows for the local voters to determine whether or not they want to increase their sales tax. So it's locally voted upon. They can deny it. They can increase it. It's up to them. Currently, we're looking at in March of increasing 0.5%, which we already have the authority to do through a Senator Skinner bill from a few years ago. We're going to use that earmarked specifically for child care. We are hoping to use this additional percentage of 0.5 for our homelessness. As you know, it's a major crisis. We just did our point in time count. We're up 43%. It's very significant, and we're just trying to ensure that we have all the tools in our toolbox by running different pieces of legislation, working with the Newsom administration on budget items, working with the legislature on budget items and dollars, et cetera, to ensure that we can appropriately care for our homeless population. And this particular 0.5% would take care, the goal is to allow them to take care of those that are just on that edge of becoming homeless. And we want to try and keep them housed, sheltered, et cetera. So today we urge your aye vote. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Mr. DeLuca.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Niccolo DeLuca here on behalf of the City of Fremont and the City of Emeryville. First, really want to thank Assemblymember Quirk and his staff for all their work, your staff for all their work, the governor's administration for all of their help. Just like what Ms. Miller said, long story short, in Emeryville and Fremont, if approved by the voters, Emeryville will be looking at adding an extra firefighter per fire truck, daycare workers, and then in Fremont, major transportation and transit improvement. That's one of the faster growing cities in the state. So thank you very much. Respectfully request for your support and appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, both of you. Appreciate being here. We're now going to turn it over to those who are in support of the bill. We're asking for those in support, if you could please advance at this time. Last call. Hearing and seeing none, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Wolf for opposition. Mr. Wolf, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Wolf, Senator Wiener is really excited to be here at 8 a.m. He shared his excitement yesterday right before we left. Exactly. Hey, that's what I'm saying. Morlock is not even going to be here today. Hey. Cool.
Senator, good morning. I hope
to add your conversation. That's great.
Senator, I do hope to add your enthusiasm with my opposition this morning.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. Members, good morning. David Wolf of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association in opposition to AB 723. Members, our opposition to sales tax authorization bills are pretty typical. We've opposed other similar tax authorization bills over the last decade. Sales taxes are especially regressive. intend to disproportionately increase expenditures for low-income residents, and considering that 70% of the nation's economic output comes from the buying and selling of goods, we do think we should be careful before communities come to the legislature authorizing additional sales tax increases and approve even more taxes. So for that regressive nature, we're opposed. We're also members troubled today by the inclusion of the Santa Cruz Metropolitan Transit District into the bill. It seems like, and members like could be reading this provision wrong, but the district appears to be exempting themselves from the Bradley Burns 2% sales cap entirely, not just prospectively for future taxes, but also retroactively for sales taxes already approved. I don't know if that's accurate, Mr. Chairman, but perhaps you or the author can speak to that in a close. And if that's in fact true, we see no justification for this because it diminishes local agency accountability and makes it likely that even more regressive taxes will be placed on the ballot. Again, for taxes that have already been approved, where that cap is being hit, to go back and exempt that 2% and pretend like those taxes didn't exist, it doesn't seem real good for voter approval. So, would ask for a no vote.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wolf. I appreciate that. And not at all trying to be disrespectful on your testimony. We're just checking in on that, and we'll get back to you in just one moment on that. We'd like to be able to open it up to anyone else who is in opposition of the bill. If you could please advance at this time. Last call for opposition. We're going to bring it back to committee. Want to make sure that we answer where Mr. Wolf's concern was. Is thanks to the research of Mr. Grinnell to my left, L.A., Monterey, Contra Costa, and San Mateo counties also have the same authority. I understand the concern in regards to Bradley Burns, though, so I know that may not make it in your eyes right, but I'm just saying that it is off of previous authority.
Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, I'm not sure those instances were retroactive. So I know prospective, we do this all the time, right? We increase sales tax authorizations all the time for future prospective taxes that are going to be on the ballot. So, and I mean, we would still be opposed to that, but this is the first time I personally have seen a retroactive sort of exemption of a district, you know, against the 2% cap.
No, you are correct. They are not retroactive. So thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Wolf. We'd like to be able to turn it over to the assembly member to be able to have if you have any comments to be able to address and or a closing statement.
As I said when I was here before, I don't think we should be telling locals what they can do with their sales tax. And the Newsom administration decided rather than raise the cap, we should not count some of these regional transportation areas. That's his choice. Mine would be just to get rid of the cap altogether. Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Mr. Assemblyman. We are so grateful that you're here. I would like to be able to see if we have any questions or comments from the committee at this time. Hearing seeing none, Assemblyman, we do not have a quorum at this time. We will take this up as soon as we have a fourth member. Any final comments or closing statement?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Assemblyman, thank you for working with us and for your work on this issue as well.
Well, I really appreciate it. Also, I appreciate the governor's office letting us know how they wanted the bill formulated.
No, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to be turning it over to the Grayson Show. We have two bills, AB 754 and AB 1483. Assemblymember, you have bipartisan support on each of the bills. So we're going to ask for a truncated version on 754 and 1483 in regards to your statement. The floor is yours, and we always enjoy Mr. Grayson in committee. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. It's an honor to be before you today. First, I want to say I have already requested a rule waiver to incorporate the changes described in the committee analysis. AB 754 will enable 811 centers to fulfill their statutorily mandated duty to protect California's infrastructure simply by putting on the application for permits that they are required to contact 811 before they dig. So the bill will require the Office of Planning and Resources to add a reference to its California Solar Permitting Guidebook regarding this requirement, and the bill provides that no city or county will be liable for a person's failure to notify the Regional Notification Center of intended excavation. I do have a witness, Mr. Kent Koss, that is with us today from Sempra Energy.
Thank you so much. Kent, appreciate you being in here, and then also and I know you'll get into this. This comes off of a tragedy that they saw at Sempra, and appreciate the coordination with the assembly member on this. Assembly member, you taking the lead in regards to turning that tragedy into policy to make sure it doesn't happen again. The floor is yours, sir.
Yes, thank you. Kent Kaus with San Diego Gas and Electric and SoCal Gas. I want to thank the author and staff for working with us on this. As you note, on July 15th, we lost an employee in the city of Murrieta who was responding to reports of a gas leak. The gas leak was caused by the insertion of a grounding rod into the ground. It is uncommon for solar developers to use grounding rods, or they don't always use them, I should say. So this bill, as the analysis points out, is simply an education bill. It does two simple things, as noted by the author. We think this could help educate folks. The Contractor State License Board already has some education efforts. We think just a couple of simple steps. We're also talking to the Public Utilities Commission. They have a similar guidebook for solar installs to add a notation of this effort. We also appreciate Senator Hill. In 2016, he got a bill through SB 661, and in that bill, it talked a lot about education and the education needs, and it has the new DIG board that was created by that bill, identifying new education outreach efforts that would be helpful. We happened, as a result of this tragedy, to identify one, and appreciate the author and committee for pursuing this bill and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you so much, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Rob Grossglaser on behalf of USA North 811, where the Northern Call Center, that it's a not-for-profit dedicated to excavation safety. We are proud to be headquartered in the Assembly Members District and happy to answer any questions, but we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the good senator from San Jose is here and ready to roll. We are going to open it up to anyone else who is in support of the bill. If you could please advance in this at this time. We're looking for those in support. Last call. We're now going to ask for those who may be opposed. We're looking for opposition. We're going to bring it back to committee. Mr. Assemblyman, would you mind if we establish a quorum?
Please.
All right, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to establish a quorum. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, please.
McGuire.
Here.
McGuire present. Morlock. Bell. Bell present. Hertzberg. Hurtado. Nielsen. Nielsen present. Wiener. Wiener present.
A quorum has been established by the committee. Thank you, Ms. Lanchester. We'd like to be able to see if we have any questions or comments from the committee on this issue. We also would welcome a motion at this time. Awkward silence and a motion. So we do have a motion on the floor by Senator Bell. Mr. Grayson, would you like to close?
Simply and respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Good times. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. Ms. Lanchester, can you please call the roll?
McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Morlock? Bell? Aye. Bell, aye. Hertzberg? Hurtado? Nielsen? Aye. Nielsen, aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye. 4-0.
Skin of the teeth, ladies and gentlemen. That's a 4-0 vote. So thank you so much. Do appreciate it. Yeah, Mr. Assemblyman, do you mind if we head back to Mr. Quirk real quick?
Please.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking up AB 723. This is item one on our docket by Assemblymember Quirk. Is there a motion on the floor? Hey, we got a motion. We got a motion by the good senator from San Jose. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. Ms. Lanchester, can you please call the roll?
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Morlock. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hertzberg. Hurtado. Nielsen.
No.
Nielsen, no. Wiener.
Aye.
Wiener, aye. 3-1.
That is a 3-1. We're going to keep that bill on call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our third and final item of the day. This is AB 1483. I will not put words into the mouth of the assembly member. This is an issue that the assembly member has really been focused in on, and appreciate the work on that. I also appreciate the assembly member. He came to us earlier in the year, wanted us to be able to move the bill, which we did, and kept his word of saying that, hey, look, want to be able to come back and really work on this item. Again, not trying to put words in your mouth, sir, but I think this is one of two, maybe a few, that you're going to be taking a look at on all issues of fees, and appreciate your work on this, sir. The floor is yours, and I just want to acknowledge the chairwoman, Assemblywoman Aguiar Curry, who we've been working in collaboration with as well, for all of her work on that, along with Mr. Grayson. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members, and I'm pleased to present AB 1483. I would like to begin by thanking the chair, who's been a tremendous help, and the committee consultant as well, for their work in crafting the amendments to this bill. This year, UC Berkeley's Turner Center delivered a report on the effect of residential impact fees and what the effect has on housing production in California. One of the report's key findings was that development fee schedules are often unclear and difficult to find. The report noted that a lack of transparency around fees and the nexus studies used to justify them can make development riskier, more costly, and ultimately serve to reduce the amount of housing that gets built. AB 1483 will require local agencies to post on their websites the type and amount of each fee imposed on a housing development project, their current and five previous annual fee reports, and any applicable nexus or cost of service studies. This important change will add much needed transparency and certainty to the housing development application process. I do have a witness here with the permission of Chair today, Andrew Kosodar with California Building Industry Association.
Thank you so much. The floor is yours, sir. It's good to see you back in committee, and we are not talking about choose bill, so it's good stuff. Hot damn. Hey, it's all good, but it's good to see you, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here on a positive note.
Hey, there we go.
Kosodar at CBIA. AB 1483 is a bill that would bring transparency to fees, special taxes, and property assessments associated with housing developments. For this reason, the CBIA supports 1483 and respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming today. We'd like to be able to see if there's anyone else in support. If you could please come forward. First, last, and organization. Good morning.
Good morning, Yelly Govrich with the California Association of Realtors in support.
Good to see you. Thank you. Good morning. Good
morning. Sosin Madden at Lighthouse Public Affairs here on behalf of TMG Partners, SV at Home, and PH, Habitat for Humanity California and East Bay Silicon Valley in support.
Ah, dang. Thank you so much. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Chair members. Luis Morante with California MB in support.
Thank you so much. Good to see you. We're going to do a last call for those who are in support. Here in the scene nine, we're now going to welcome those who may be opposed. We're going to welcome two primary witnesses. All right. Good morning. We'd like to be able to see who would like to be able to kick us off.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. First, last organization. Sure. It's good to see both of you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Jason Ryan, Lee, California Cities. We are opposed to this bill unless it's amended. But let me be clear. We do not oppose the content of the bill whatsoever. We actually are supportive of putting all this information on our websites. The issue is the bill is going to take effect January 1, and we won't be able to comply with this bill. So we're literally going to have hundreds of cities breaking the law as of January 1. Granted, there are no fines or penalties in this bill, but there's been a steady effort to make sure that cities are accountable, and how we hold cities accountable, like through the legislature, are with fines and penalties. And we've seen those the last couple years. So our request really is give us the time to comply. And we would hope that this could actually either be delayed, or we can have an amendment to say July 1st of next year. But to think that we can have all of this information on our websites in about 2 months is going to be very, very difficult. And I think the studies that were just cited a minute ago for the justification for the bill also indicated that this information isn't necessarily readily available. It's not just laying around. It's going to take time and effort to find all that information. So we just want a pathway to comply so we're not looked at as bad actors. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Chris Lee on behalf of the California State Association of Counties, also opposed unless amended. We were hoping to be able to remove our opposition to this bill. We'd offered a July 1, 2020 implementation date in our opposed unless amended letter on August 16th. Unfortunately, we share the concerns of the League about getting folks in compliance and making sure they're aware of the law in the short turnaround between a signature and January 1. And for that reason, we're opposed unless amended.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lee. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Sandy George representing the American Planning Association, and we echo the comments previously said. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mr. George. Good to see you. We'd like to be able to see if there's anyone else in opposition. Last call for opposition. We're going to bring it back to committee. I'm going to look to the assembly member on this. Look, I think that it is not your intent, right, to be able to advance it like this. And I don't know if you want to comment on that and clarify, and then I have one more comment. Please, assembly member.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, for the bill and the content of the bill, transparency is very, very important as far as making sure that developers are fully aware up front what the fees are going to be, because it is truly impactful to development to get through the process or partially through the process and get to almost the close and find out there's additional fees that weren't disclosed at the beginning. Having said that, there are 3 months between now and the end of the year in which cities can begin to comply, if not already. The information's already there. It's available. It's just putting it all together and placing it on the website, which is not terribly difficult. However, appropriations did take out the enforcement mechanism. So there is no enforcement mechanism to this bill outside of just requiring that cities post their fees on their website. And furthermore, I am fully 100% committed, as you have already stated, with several other bills that are in the works as far as coming up in January, fully willing to sit down and work with in the interim so that we can immediately address whatever issues the cities may be facing on January 1st. We, in partnership with the League of Cities, be able to address those immediately and get something across that can provide whatever pressure relief is available.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Look, I think that most of us are going to be in agreement that we need to be able to post. I hear local government saying the same thing. Understand that there is, you didn't say this, but no stick in regards to the fine fees, right? I think that you're committed, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if we need to be able to look at some type of delayed implementation to be able to make sure that we have everyone on board, I think that's something that I know we'd like to be able to see. I don't want to speak for the Assemblywoman, Chair of Local Government, but I don't think that will be something that will be too difficult to be able to work through.
Absolutely, and I think we have already shown and proven that we're very workable as a team on both sides, Assembly and Senate, as well as my office.
And then and we can talk about this after. Maybe we can just send a quick letter just saying that this is something that we're committed to be able to look at in regards to that delayed implementation. Supportive of the bill today, obviously, as I said to the Assembly member, but I think that's something that is just, it's a low-hanging piece of fruit, yes. And I think it would give some peace of mind also to local government as well. Please, Senator Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward. I want to also express my disappointment about the amendments that were forced into the bill in the appropriations process. I want to just repeat what I've said before, my continuing objection to what happens in this legislature where policy committees thoroughly vet bills and craft them and spend a lot of time working together. And I often, because of the two committees we chair, work together on bills together. And then with really no transparency, policy changes, significant ones, are shoved into a bill in the appropriations process. With no policy analysis, with no stakeholder process. We've seen it happen with numerous housing bills this year. I just don't think it's not a criticism of any member of the legislature. We all go into the structure that exists, but it's not a good structure. And it happened here. This is still is a good bill, but it was an even better bill that really could have helped us move the dial on understanding the data that we need to help solve this crisis. And I just hope that we can, I hope that we can make some changes, and I'm happy to support the bill today.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head of how we work together and how to be able to craft some solutions. So I really appreciate that as well. I know that there's more to come here coming up in 2020, so and grateful for the collaboration. Please, let's go to Senator Bell.
Yeah, I looked at this, and I see it being a real difficult thing to implement. You know, personally, I think cities already do this. It's they do fee ordinances every year. The fee ordinance usually describes what the fee's for, all the information you have in your bill. So I think it'd be pretty easy to implement. I think the making it more transparent is a good thing. And we recently got the report from HCD, and I read that report on fees. Thank you for authoring the bill that created that report. And I'm sure that next year we're gonna do a lot of things to implement what's in that report, correct? Is that working on, you know, for the future? I think there's some things they identified that we need to work on. And we'll take a look at that next year and keep working on it. So everybody should read that report on the fees that just came out. It's very interesting, has a lot of good recommendations.
Now, Senator Bell has done a deep dive on that and very grateful as well for his work, including us in a meeting with the department. So thank you so much, Senator Bell, for your work on that, because I know it's very personal for you. I'd like to be able to see if we have any additional questions or comments. Please, Mr. Majority Leader.
I love the author of this bill. He's a dear friend.
but my job in this House is to represent the institution. To me, gotten amends, there's an important aspect of a democratic process. We are in the last few hours of this legislature. There are often reasons, for example, where the chairman's working on a matter that's been pending for months and it took a while to get a deal together, as we know. We've done ourselves together. And the question I have is, what's the compelling reason? Why does this legislature at this time, why this late? What happened is from a legislative process, I'm asking the tough questions to a dear friend of my party, it is manners not, that we now have to hear this bill now. We all, it's like when you go in for injunctive relief, you have to make a showing of irreparable injury. You have to make some urgency. What's the urgency that doesn't allow this thing to go forward in next legislative session? And or more importantly, why are you coming to it now? Did you have an opportunity to do it earlier and just all of a sudden somebody comes to you and says, oh my God? Well, we get these oh my gods all the time. So I just, in protecting the legislative process that makes enemies, everybody gets pissed at me for asking the questions, but I think, you know, as the dean over here, us two old dogs in this place, we have an obligation to protect the integrity of this institution.
Senator, would you like to comment?
Absolutely. Back to a very dear friend of mine, through the chair, please.
Please.
This bill was actually gutted in appropes, and we're trying to put meat back into it. We're trying to put the substance back into it. This is not something new, and no epiphany awakened me in the middle of the night. This has been a longstanding piece of work and partnership between committee chairs and myself as the author. And this is something that has been a topic and actually a product of AB 879, which was a bill that was signed into law by Governor Brown in 2017. The report was due June 30th. And unfortunately, that report was held, the results of that report were held for a while. And as soon as we received the report, what we did was, through much collaboration, working with the committee, decided to pick the most obvious and the easiest to implement and put that in into this bill and to put substance into a bill that was already moving forward. Something that's not a new discussion, something that's not a surprise to anybody, but something that I believe everyone, if they didn't, they should have expected this kind of transparency, and this transparency should have already been in place in the first place. So we're looking forward to moving something forward that is that should be best practices already. And with that, I share your respect for the institution, which is why I've held back the real heavy meat, and we'll save that for 1484 next year.
Thank you. Move the bill. Good answer.
Thank you so much, Mr. Majority Leader. We do have a motion. No, that's good. Majority Leader. No. You made the motion. So we have a motion on the floor, which is to return the bill to the Senate floor. Assemblymember, I just want to go back to the delayed implementation, because I think there was intent to be able to look at some delayed implementation originally. I just want to get your take, and I don't mean to do this on the fly with you, and I appreciate your patience. Either we do a letter together and send it out to local government groups, or you do a letter to the journal about enforcement, because I don't think it was your intent not to have that delayed implementation language within the bill. How would you like to be able to proceed with that? I'd like to be able to do one or two.
I think best would be for us to do it together.
Okay.
That's great. And I'm very, very comfortable with that. You've been wonderful to work with.
That's great. So, again, Assemblymember has been more than collaborative on this issue, and so we're going to understand that it is not what you're wanting here today. And I also know that won't remove the opposition. But I, the intent is to be able to look at the delayed implementation, and I think that there is some security in that there is no enforcement mechanism. So understand, though, the concern. Before we turn it over to the Assemblymember for final comments, I'll turn it over to the opposition for any comment that you have on that.
Excuse me, Jason Ryan Lee, California Cities. Certainly appreciate the letter. I think it certainly would be helpful. But I do have to go back to what, you know, Senator Hertzberg said in his comments about what is the rush. If we're not, you know, if there's no enforcement in here, if there's no hammer, then really what's the rush? I mean, I think we could do this next year, but certainly appreciate the effort here, and we'll look forward to that letter.
Yeah, I mean, To be very candid, original thought was that this should not move, and now you're saying why is the right, but anyway. So what I'll just say is that I think it's important that we start moving on this. There's a report, and that we start gravitating towards putting these fees online. So I think he's been, the one thing I will say is that we had what was a conference call a week ago and agreed to be able to move this important issue forward. I think it's going to be important for the public and those who are doing business with local cities and counties. And this is his intent to be able to start moving this issue. And then coming up next year, we'll see the extent of the bills that will be advanced. I hear what you're saying, and again, very grateful for your collaboration as well as your advocacy. Senator Wiener?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't going to say anything, but I have. I mean, first of all, and I don't have the file in front of me about who was opposing this bill on appropriations. I'm going to speculate that the same opponents today were probably opposing it in appropriations.
Yeah, I don't
oppose the bill on appropriations.
I think we had a coalition letter on file. I mean, but to be clear, we are not opposed to the content of the measure in any way.
I understand.
We are supportive of
it. But I'm just guessing that enforcement piece, one of the reasons it came out was because there was pushback from cities and local governments saying, we don't want enforcement, we don't want
this.
We agreed to the actual expanded APR provisions in the bill as amended. So we requested three amendments. One was about the population threshold after which the expanded APR would apply. One was about the reference to this fee piece that we're talking to, how you report that in the APR, and the implementation date for when you need to put that on the website. It was our understanding that we had reached an agreement that the implementation date for that particular amendment would be July 1, 2020, based on a conversation on before appropriations in late August. And so I appreciate that, but we were willing to go actually much further on the reporting piece, and I think the author will bolster that argument.
Yeah, I appreciate that information. I just think, say, well, there's no enforcement, so what's the, I just don't agree with that. I know you're going to do your folks will do the best they can, and the sooner the better. And I do just want to say, in terms of what's the rush, in terms of why is this a gun and a man, I mean, like, children are sleeping in their cars right now. We have just this is a bad situation that we have in California. I'm not trying to be melodramatic. It is a bad, bad situation, and there is human suffering throughout the state because of our failure around housing. And so it is a very urgent situation, and I don't think it's a situation where we can just say, let's wait till next year. And I think this piece, actually having transparency so we see the data around these fees, because we know that there are significant disparities, and this is important information. So there is a big rush. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator. And yes, you have been collaborative, so I do appreciate that. And I don't want to speak for the Assemblymember. It'll be the last time I say that today. But I think it was inadvertent in regards to the removal of the timeline. So it was nothing intentional, but it was inadvertent on the fee, I think, in the amendment process in the previous committee. So. But I'll let the Assemblymember close. And again, thank you. Look forward to working with it. And we'll work on that letter together as well. Please, Mr. Assemblyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I have immense respect for the institution. I have very high regard for the League of Cities and the great work that they do in representing our cities. Thank you to the Senator in the Bay for the comments that you have made, especially in recognition of the housing crisis that we are facing. It's easy to talk about a housing crisis when you're talking about sticks coming up out of the ground, pouring concrete foundations. But what makes it real is when you see the young people sleeping in cars and parking lots, when you see families as nomads traveling from one center to another, just looking for a place for shelter. And we have got to do something and quit putting the starting line out into the future. We have got to start, and we got to start now. We felt like we found the easiest thing to start with, and this will be a continuing work. I respectfully ask for an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, sir. We have a motion on the floor by the majority leader. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. Ms. Lanchester, can you please call the roll?
McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Moorlach? Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Hurtado? Hurtado, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye. You have 6-0.
It currently enjoys a 6-0 vote. We're going to keep that. I'm sorry. You're right. That bill is out, and we're closing the roll. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Very grateful, Mr. Sinema. Good to see you. We're going to add the majority leader onto our first two items. But for the first time ever, before we leave, we have a very special recognition for the vice chair. And Ms. Hurtado, the floor is yours. In his absence, would you mind giving it to the majority leader, as the majority leader by far has received more awards than anyone combined on this committee, then he can then pass on that award to the vice chair. Senator Hurtado, the floor is yours.
And foremost, and today I have the honor of presenting the Ricardo Lara Award to our majority leader, who will move it forward.
Well, so Morlock's not here, been here at all?
No, for the first time man. Ever. For the first time ever.
It's one thing to win the award for being late.
It's a new award
for not showing up. I don't know how we got to do that. I think we have to have a subcommittee of this esteemed committee that will then decide who we're going to get named for that new award for not showing up. What do you think about that, Senator Bell? I think that's what we should do. We're not touching that one. That's right. So in any event, it's the recipient of this award. All I can tell you is in each instance, it is not for fondness and respect for the good work of this committee and the members on it. It is because I have been otherwise employed in doing other duties relating to my job. So with that, I will pass on the temporarily named Ricardo Lara Award to the in absentia to the vice chair of this committee, with the admonition that we are going to come back and rename it in some new and better fashion for the fella or member that does not show up.
Thank you so much, Mr. Majority Leader. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we will probably have at least one more committee for sure sometime this week, and we may have two. So just heads up on that. So ladies and gentlemen, we have two bills that we're going to add the Majority Leader onto. Everyone else, I think, is, let me just give us 30 seconds. Let me see who else we need to add on. 1 second. The only one, the two members that we're going to need to add on is Ms. Hurtado and Mr. Hertzberg. Otherwise, you are more than welcome to enjoy the coffee and a Starburst and hang out with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to add on. We're going to start with item number one. This is AB 723. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. The current vote is 3-1. Lanchester, can you please call the absent members?
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Hurtado?
4-1, 4-2.
You said no?
Yeah.
Okay, 4-2.
4-2, that bill is out and we're closing the roll. This is our last item that we're gonna add folks onto. Item number two, AB 754. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. The current vote is 4-0. Ms. Lanchester.
Hertzberg, Hertzberg aye, Hurtado. Hurtado aye, 6-0.
That bill is out on a 6-0 vote. We're now closing the roll. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you later this week. Thank you all for being here. This meeting is adjourned.